Hey guys, I am so excited for Ethos Training Systems to be the official sponsor for my podcast, Getting Zen with Gen Z. They are located at 314 West Institute Place, Chicago, and are Chicago's first sustainable strength, conditioning, and mobility group training facility. Their three main focuses are fat loss and conditioning, strength development, and injury prevention and mobility. Be sure to sign up for their new client promo at ethostrainingshy.com and make them your number one for all your training needs. Follow them on Instagram at Ethos Training Shy for awesome tips and updates. Getting Zen with Gen Z. Empowering, motivating, and inspiring you to live your happiest, healthiest life. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Getting Zen with Gen Z. On today's episode, I have Mary Latham from the More Good Today Project. She started this in October 26th, 2016. And one of my good friends and jujitsu teammates actually connected us. She was staying in town with them. She's friends with his wife. And, he had sent me her TED talk, about her very interesting and amazing story about sharing acts of kindness, basically from across the U.S. And in looking at her website, one of the quotes on there that I absolutely loved was a daily reminder that no act of kindness is ever too small when done with a pure heart. So you guys know as listeners how much I just love talking about positivity and sharing people's stories and their experiences. And I thought Mary was the absolute perfect guest to have on. So, and she's actually traveling right now and taking the time out as she just landed off a flight to be able to come on and share her story. So thank you so much, Mary. Welcome to our over the phone interview.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course. So tell us how the mission of More Good, tell us what the mission of More Good is and how it all came to be and how it started.
Yeah. So I am from New York, and a couple of years ago I was living and working in New York City, and I was kind of doing the hustle to afford my tiny little apartment in New York that I was never in. I had a 9-to-5 at a law firm, kind of just an assistant to have health insurance. I had wedding photography that I would do on the weekends, mm-hmm. which is what I really wanted to do. But, you know, you can't afford to just do that and live in New York. Right, and then I nannied for two different families in the city. And so I was working on the day of the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting. It was December 14th, 2012, and I was at work that morning. I just got in and opened up my Google News, and I was kind of reading through the news and horrified, as I believe we all were that day. And and I just remember, you know, I grew up, my whole family grew up actually without television. And and so I was pretty shielded from a lot of stuff, I think. And so I remember, you know, I always knew of things, but I didn't really visually see them as much. And I was just stuck on that computer that morning, just staring at the news and refreshing it. And he was still an active shooter. And as I was doing that, my coworker walked by my desk, and he had a coffee from Starbucks with him. And he said, "Oh, you should have come today." And I kind of ignored him and was staring at the news. And I said, "Yeah, you know, I could afford it." Mm-hmm. And he said, "No, it was free." And so I turned around, I looked at him, and he's like, "What are you talking about?" And he said, "Yeah, there was a man in earlier," because it was right before the holidays, he was buying gift cards for employees as presents, and he bought an extra one for $100 and said, "You know, rent it out on the line behind me."
Oh, wow.
And the man I was working with at the time, he just turned 30. He was going through a divorce. His mom had passed away, and he was getting back surgery that year. So it was just not a good year for him. And I can still see his face. I mean, he was so happy and excited about this free $4 coffee a stranger bought him.
Yeah, it's those little things, you know?
Yeah, it was. And it was such a little thing. And so he left my desk, and I called my mom at the time, and I was telling her the story. And then I quickly switched over to the shooting because, you know, as I said, we grew up without TV. She didn't know about it yet. And I was telling her all about it, the details and how could this happen? And how is there so much bad out there? And how am I going to babysit for this child tonight without crying on them? Mm-hmm. And she said, Mary, you got to focus on that coffee story you told me. You know, what a cool thing that that man did that. And there's always going to be tragedies and horrible things that will happen in our lives and in the world, but there'll always be more good out there if you look for it. And that was one of the last big conversations we had had before she passed away. She had surgery a couple of weeks later for her cancer and didn't make it. And so I kind of hung on to that concept and ran with it, or drove with it, I
guess. Literally. And,
packed up her old Subaru, and decided I would go to every single state, looking for the more good, kind of highlighting the good that's going on around our country that we don't get to hear about. And not only highlighting the good, but also highlighting tragedies that have happened and the good that's come out of them after. You know, you hear a horrific event where a mother loses her husband and child in a shooting, but you don't really know anything after. And you know the community came together and helped them, but you just
you don't know the details. You don't know the rest of the story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so so to highlight her life now and where she's at and what happened with her. And so it's been kind of, I would say 98% of the stories that I've collected across the country have been ridden with sadness. And it's been an extremely emotional and challenging journey. But it's been incredible to just show these kind of these tiny acts and how huge they are and how important they are, because people think, you know, you and in Chicago, I actually collected a story of two girls, their sisters, and their father passed away from kidney failure. Mm-hmm. And to honor him, they each donated a kidney to a stranger. Oh, and I mean, that is just like unbelievable.
Yeah, that is. That's amazing.
And so people always think, you know, that's an act of kindness and that's a huge thing. But they can be these really tiny little things that have these massive impacts. And and to just show, you know, we're all capable of acts of kindness and we can do them more. And, you know, if things are dark and we feel depressed, you know, be that good that we need to see, you know, and start that ripple effect. And so that's what I've been doing. So I've been on the road for 2 years and 6 months, granted about 5 of those months have been spent, you know, a week here and there coming back to New York to shoot weddings and keep my business alive and my wallet alive. But
yes, definitely.
But mostly I am centered on human kindness, quite literally. I started off saying if anyone has an aunt in Texas or a, you know, old college friend in Pennsylvania, and people started tagging people, and I just made connections along the way through news outlets. Absolute strangers see a thing clip in the news and they reach, say they have a home. I meet people in coffee shops and they say they have friends in other states. I mean, it's a lot of that, you know, starts off with no connection at all. And then, you know, you become really close with these people and connect to the people in their world now too. And so, I've been in 129 homes now across the country and my car is currently parked in state 39, which is Wisconsin.
Oh my gosh. I was going to say, how many states have you been to? 39. Wow.
Yeah. 39. That is kind of the lowdown. So 39 states, 33,500 miles and 129 homes.
Oh my gosh.
In 2 years and 6 months.
That is incredible. You know, I know your main objective behind this, but how did you really decide to like go for it? Just to like what you were going to do and like starting, like where was the first place you went?
So I started in Connecticut. I got on a ferry from Long Island. The town I grew up in was Orient. So it's the last town on the North Fork of Long Island. And I got on a ferry and I drove over and about 15 minutes I drove off of the ferry to my first home, which was in Niantic, Connecticut. And it was a young couple. They are now married, say 6 months old, just to get an idea of how long this has been going on. But they reached out via Facebook. Someone, a friend of a friend, had shared what I was about to do, and she reached out to me and said, I would love to host you. And wow. So I only stayed there one night when I first got there, but she was, they both worked in hospitals actually, and just absolutely incredible people. And they still stay in touch and she's just awesome. And so I think that I just realized when I was in the hospital, how lucky I was under the circumstances to have what I had. Mm-hmm. I think that my parents were married 40 years. I have two sisters and a brother and just a really strong family and a close family. And so to be in there and see there was a girl that was about 30, I think 35 maybe, mm-hmm. that was dying of cancer, and her parents were in there and they were divorced and they were fighting. She wanted to see her ex-boyfriend and he was saying no, and the mom was saying, you know, she's dying, let her do what she wants. And there was a man in there in the corner that was just sitting in there alone the whole time. And I think that experience just made me realize, you know, there's just so many people out there that don't necessarily have someone, or maybe they have people that they're, you know, grieving in such different ways that they're just fighting. And so wouldn't it be nice for them to have this type of book of hope really in these rooms to kind of, you know, feel like they're not completely alone, because wow. they're not. I mean, there's people all over the country that are going through, everyone's going through something similar that they're going through, and maybe they can find them in this book and, you know, find comfort in how they handled it and what they did with that grief. Because for me, I wanted to help other people go through stuff and mm-hmm. find comfort in each other. But it's been extremely healing for me too, just to keep my mom's spirit alive. She was just so awesome and positive. And so I feel like this trip really keeps her alive for me, which is awesome.
That's incredible. And that's so special. And just how, you know, being able to turn that grief and sadness into something so positive and, you know, helping others, I think, is just an amazing motivation. And to just see that and realizing that this has been such a healing process for you in turn. And it has to be just, you know, I think connections in life are so important. And now connecting with all of these other people that you never knew 2.5 years ago, and being able to be support for each other. But I mean, just looking back, I mean, did you ever think that it would get to be to the point that it is, how much it's grown and everywhere you've been?
You know, I think that I started off in my head that I was going to be collecting these sweet little stories of people buying each other coffee.
Right.
And so it's definitely morphed. And I think that it's always, I mean, it's still challenging. It's always been, you know, it's a lot of work because I do this all on my own. I don't have anyone helping me with, you know, marketing or PR or building a, you know, Instagram following or any of that stuff. You know, it's kind of all on me. So I'm doing it the best I can. But, you know, I always feel like I'm falling behind and that, you know, people are always saying, oh, you should have more followers. You should do this. You should do that. And I think just learning that the world right now is so based on that, you know, mm-hmm. and that's not what's important. And that's not dependent on what kind of impact you can make. And so I think that with this trip, it's just been, I met a woman the other night, and it was one of those random things where I was in a place, I saw a man sitting by himself. His wife had been on the phone for hours, and I invited him to play some dice. Mm-hmm. And we started talking. I told him what I was doing. He told me all about this amazing woman in Wisconsin that is his cousin's wife, who has is currently dealing with their third round of cancer in the last 10 years, all different types of cancer. She beat it, and then she's got a different type.
Wow.
And she has a 7-year-old and her and her husband. And he said, you know, she's just absolutely amazing. You should meet her. And so I called her up and I was like, when are you free this week? I'm in Wisconsin. And so I showed up at her little, they had built a dome home, which was really cool.
Oh, wow.
And I got to spend a few hours with her. Mm-hmm. And after while I was there, and I was explaining the trip, because a lot of people think, oh, you know, she's from New York. She's writing for a magazine. She's staying in a hotel. She's just flying in to collect a nice little kindness story.
Oh, no.
Not it at all.
No.
And so you're constantly kind of explaining yourself. And people always say, when they ask about the trip, you know, what's your favorite state? Or what's the most beautiful thing you've seen? And, you know, when I was in St. Louis, I was in and out of homes the entire time. I talked to a couple high schools, and I pulled away on the highway and waved to the arch. I didn't see downtown or Far Park or the arch or really anything. And so I always try to say, you know, well, I'm not really going to these places and seeing things necessarily. If I have a host that will show me around, then that's great. But for the most part, I'm really just seeing the people. And so she called me a tourist of humanity.
I have that written down. I saw that and I was like, I absolutely love that. I think that's just an amazing description.
Yeah. And it was such a cool thing. And it was, you know, I would never be able to do that or say that myself. But it was so cool because it really is. It's meeting all the people across the country and kind of hearing their stories and really just listening. I mean, I think listening is one of the biggest issues that we're kind of all fight these days, and just making time to listen to these people and just giving them an opportunity to kind of reflect back on their life. I mean, even the homes I stay in, because the homes are just offering shelters. They don't have to have a story. Of course, mm-hmm. everyone has a story, but you know, when I get there, they're always like, oh, I don't know. I've been thinking since you said you were coming, you know, what happened in my life or this or that. And after a day or two of spending time with them, they start thinking of things and they start realizing, and now you leave and there's a woman in Charles City, Iowa. We were walking down the street, halfway through our visit, and we were going to meet someone that had a story, and she was, she knew the woman, so she was coming with me. Mm-hmm. And she kind of held my hand. She stopped as we were almost walking into the coffee shop, and she just grabbed my hand and she looked at me and she said, "You're making me feel so much better." Oh. And it was just one of those moments that I mean, she was a total stranger. I connected to her through three other strangers, and that's how I ended up in her home. So to just have her say that and to just feel like, you know, it will still keep being challenging and I still have a lot to figure out to put this all together, but to just know that you're helping people remember the good in their life and be grateful for it. And so, yeah, I think that it's kind of always morphing and changing every day. So it's hard to even imagine. I think I knew going into it that I had no idea what I was getting into. So it's not like it's like, oh, well, I'm surprised it turned out like this, because I knew I would be surprised. I knew that it was going to change a million times and morph and do all this stuff. I didn't know what it would be, knew that I was getting into something crazy.
It's like when you don't have a plan, you know, you're just kind of going with it. Sometimes you have those gut feelings and just instincts. It's like, I have to do this, you know, and you were guided on that mission to, you know, do this in honor of your mom and just go and hear the good stories. Cause you know, we do, there's so much, I feel like, negative and bad out there that we hear all the time, but it's like, we need to be reminded of the good. We need to be focused on that. And it's, you know, one of those things, like one person can create change, and you are able to give a voice to all of these other people to share their stories, which is just incredible. And it's, I can imagine, I mean, it's not glamorous for you. Like this is, it's a lot of work, and going out and traveling and giving your life to it, you can tell, you know, how passionate you are about it and how passionate you are about these people's stories and getting them out there and, you know, making a difference, which I think is all going to be worth it at the end of the day. But I'm sure there's so many struggles. And even with that of, you know, the intention of doing this probably was not to make a business out of it. So where you are doing things on your own and you don't have a team of people helping you, but you know, I feel like when people are going out there and striving to do good, there's good karma, and you're putting that out into the universe and people are going to hear your story. And this is turning into something just incredible and beautiful. And the impact is just amazing. And I can imagine the impact that it's had on you personally. Like you said, it's already it's helping you heal. But, I mean, what are some of the emotions that you feel, that you felt going through this? I'm sure there's a long list, but.
Well, now that I'm back in New York before I have to shoot this wedding, I have booked myself a regular doctor appointment, a naturopath appointment to get some blood tests done. Excellent. I have a therapist appointment finally after 2.5 years. I realized I cannot do this alone. And an acupuncture appointment. It's pretty much a dentist appointment.
Yes. All your appointments to catch up.
in the first second. So I would say that yes, physically and mentally, it has definitely taken a toll. But I think that, I don't know, you know, it's so cool because there's these little moments that will really pump me up, during the trip. And I think that's how I do it. Like I can be absolutely exhausted in the same outfit every day. I just am always wearing my best friend in New York was going on a date the other night, and she FaceTimed me and we were talking, and she was like, "Oh, do you want to see my outfit?" And I was like, "Of course." Show me what a girl looks like that's actually dressing up. So she had this adorable little outfit before she's going on the date, and I was like, "Do you want to see my outfit?" And she's like, No, I see it every day.
It's She's like, I one. Know what you're wearing. I know it's the same thing.
Yep. And so, but it does make your life a lot easier when you don't have to worry about what you're going to wear. I mean, I pretty much have a uniform and I wear the same thing every day. And then, you know, the people that I meet, sometimes they'll randomly give you gas money or, they'll just, I had gotten a story, and my windows were kind of a little bit cracked, and I'd gotten a story once, and then I was going to walk around the town afterwards. And when I got back to my car, she had slipped a envelope in my car and it said, you know, gas money to the next town. And it was, you know, $60 or something. And so little moments like that, that happen are just really awesome little things that kind of keep me going. And I talked to a high schooler a couple weeks ago in St. Paul. Mm-hmm. And after I talked to the kids, there was like a couple kids that weren't in that class but knew I was going to be there. Their teacher told them, so they stopped by. So it was like 3 ninth graders and like a couple seniors and me and the teacher. And we were kind of just like open chatting and everything. And they were asking me some questions. And one of the ninth graders brought me a bag and it had a pack of mixed nuts and stuff from Trader Joe's and some dried fruit and some granola bars and a box of Emergency with little directions that said, you know, this is good for your immunity because I know you're on the road and moving all the time. And it was just so sweet. I was like, what is this called? 14 or 15? And she thought of this.
That's amazing.
Because I think so many people think, oh, she must be getting so much help and she must be getting inundated with emails and she must this and that. And so they don't reach out and they don't do things. And so when people do, it means so much to me because that's, I mean, for her to think like that was just so cool as a little kid.
Oh,
and to think about my immunity.
Right.
And how I'm
like,
going
I want you to stay healthy home. And you're moving around and traveling. And no, that's incredible. And that's something too, that I wanted you to share and wanted to ask you about is because I mean, you're doing this on your own. And a lot of this I'm sure is coming out of your pocket or, you know, you have people along the way that are, you know, able to maybe kind of sponsor you or, you know, help you out with little things. But how can people get involved and help?
So on the website, there is a donate option. The website is just morgantoday.com and, they can go to the donate option, or really the biggest help too is the connection option of just kind of trying to, like I head to Michigan next. So if people had, you know, contacts in Michigan or any contacts in media and stuff, is always helpful to kind of get the word out there so people know, okay, she's here. I think a lot of the time media thinks that I want to be in the news, which is not the case. I just want people to know I'm there so that they can be part of this.
Yes. And you can get their stories.
So that's always a challenge. When I'm in different places, sometimes it works out really easily if someone has a contact, and then sometimes, like in Wisconsin, actually, I couldn't connect. So I'm not going to waste my time on trying to figure that out when I can just go out there in the streets and connect with the stories. It just makes it a lot more than it already is.
Yes.
But, have list and I have to update it, but of the last couple states that I have. So if people had contacts in those states, but yeah, if people wanted to donate to the gas tank or anything like that, or buy a shirt, I sell my shirts that say More Good on them. So that, supports my host, because all the people I stay with, I put them in a t-shirt that I give them, and my little onesies for the babies. And then that will be the first page of the book, will be all the images of the people across the country that let me in their homes.
Oh my God, that's just beautiful.
Because that's also how I finance it. I mean, really the biggest costs are gas, because I'm wearing my uniform. The gas for the car, gas for me, and then people usually, when I stay with them, they'll feed me a meal or something like that. And so that's kind of how I can afford to do it without staying in hotels or having to buy myself dinner every night. My hosts play a huge role.
Oh, that's awesome. And how many, so do you want, what is the objective? Are you trying to get to all 50 states or what are you?
Yeah. I'm going to do all 50 states and then that part of the trip will be done. And then I'm hoping to kind of try to get some type of exposure so that, you know, because I can only connect to as many people as I can connect to when I'm in a town and a place on my own. Mm-hmm. So if there can be some type of exposure that gets this mission heard a little bit more so that people can still be included. They can still submit their stories. And maybe this would be buying one of the books that gets updated, you know, throughout the years, and just kind of have everyone be part of it and be able to submit their stories and kind of reflect back on their lives. And so I always actually making it something like, because people always say, well, why is this a hospital waiting room? It's like, I need this in my home or at my eye doctor's office or, you know, whatever. And so I thought it would be cool to do like Tom's Shoes, where you buy a pair of shoes and it donates a pair.
Oh, yes.
So if you bought a book on Amazon, if you want to buy one for a present for someone, then it would donate one and you could pick what state and what hospital it went to.
Oh my God, that's a fabulous idea.
So I just have to figure all that out to do that. But that is one of my things. And then really write my whole, like my own book of the whole journey and the kindness I received and how I was able to do it.
Oh my gosh. So there, have you been like writing and kind of putting this together along the way, or are you waiting to like collect everything and then start putting the book together? Like when can we expect?
So I have not really, I do journal, but it looks like a drunk kindergartner wrote it. Cause I'm kind of always with strangers.
Yeah.
And when you stay with people that you're only going to be with for maybe 3 days and never see again a lot of the time, then you kind of just want to be with them the whole time.
You don't have downtime to do work and you're connecting with them.
So by the end of the night, you're just so tired that you just like fall to bed and then you wake up and you do it all over again. So the only time I'm alone is when I'm in the car and mm-hmm. so I'm driving, so I can't really do any writing. So I try to write little posts or post little updates or snippets of things on the website and the Facebook and Instagram. But for the most part, yeah, I'm going to have to kind of put it all together at the end. So
that'll be the next step after the travel.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I thought it'd be so cool if people could submit their stories now. I could kind of get this put out there a little bit, at least the first volume, like out there as soon as possible, because if people are writing up their stories, they're kind of already in a format. And so it wouldn't be me having to figure out how to put the whole entire thing together right away.
Well, absolutely. But I mean, there could be a whole series, you know, and then your story, of course, too. I mean, I think anytime, you know, if there's a continuous message and, you know, spreading of that kindness, love, and gratitude, I mean, I think that constant reminder is something we need, and always just, you know, paying it forward. I think it's encouraging people to do good as much as possible is just so important.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, I think that's just a key, and that we can make a difference even as one person. You know, I think that's the biggest lesson out of this is look at everything you've accomplished, and, you know, you're one person doing this on your own. And it's like, we can, even if it's a small, you know, act of kindness or gesture, you never know too when you can just make somebody's day. And everybody's going through something different and hard times. And it's like, we really want to spread that love as much as we can. And, you know, this, what you're doing is just incredible and such an amazing reminder of that. So thank you for that.
Yeah, no, I always think about that guy at the coffee shop, and I actually went back like a year into my trip. I had to come back to shoot a wedding and I was in New York, and I went to 53rd and Broadway because I used to work on 7th Avenue. And so that was the Starbucks right by us. And so I went there because I thought in some crazy way, like maybe they could figure out the receipts from that day, because I know the day, I know the time, I know they bought a bunch of gift cards, and it was gone. The Starbucks is gone.
Oh my gosh,
like
really?
Now. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's gone. And then I was like, I probably wouldn't have really been able to find him. And then I just always think, like, maybe someday he'll be in a hospital because, you know, his child's having a baby or something like that, and he'll open this book. And he'll see and be like, oh my gosh, that was me. I was at that Starbucks.
Isn't that crazy though? That is something like, but to put out into the universe, like that one person made such an impact on you, changed your life, like as you're doing for others. But it's like, you're always learning that from somebody. Somebody inspires you. And it's like that person, and to not know who that is, I mean, oh my God, I get goosebumps.
Like, he didn't even buy me a coffee.
And he didn't even buy you a coffee. Right. But I mean, that is so powerful. That is that right there. That's just amazing.
Yeah. So it's a perfect example of like, I mean, he might never know that,
right?
You know, he just thought he did something nice that day. And there's a girl out there that stopped her life and has been touring the country for good because of him.
Oh my God. That's crazy. I know. I'm like, I really hope somehow, some way you you can connect with this person. I mean, that would be like icing on the cake right there.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. So what are some, and I know there's probably so many stories in your mind, but are there any stories that specifically like will always stick with you or the most memorable?
Well, definitely. I mean, like you said, there's a million, but there, I would say still like the biggest moment one for me was that one I talk about in the TED Talk, with the Uber driver.
Yes.
And so I think for me, that was just such a clear example of feeling like extremely discouraged, exhausted, overwhelmed, just like figuring out how I'm really going to do this and mm-hmm. what I'm doing. And just to meet him in that moment and be in that random car and just turn off for 1 second, just 1 second. I wanted to turn off because I'm always on.
Right. Of course. You need that mental downtime.
Yeah. I'm a New Yorker. I'm in a cab. We don't talk.
You're going to zone out. Yep.
I'll just look out the window. And he just kept trying to talk to me. And it was such an obvious thing. I just wasn't picking up on it. And so, and hearing his story about that absolutely amazing act of kindness that happened to his friend, and then to just hear him say at the end, you know, it's because he did the right thing in his heart, and he left a note, you know, for that man, which ended up turning into the kindness. And he just turned around and looked at me and said, you know, it's just like what you're doing.
Right.
The most important work you'll ever do is the work you do with your heart. And I think that's really what it all boils down to. I think anything we do when we're doing it with our heart, when we're thinking, you know, because sometimes it's awkward, you know, to do acts of kindness. And I just spoke to a woman yesterday and she said, you know, I was in the grocery store the other day and I was having such a bad day and I wasn't really paying attention. And then all of a sudden I noticed there was an old man and they have benches in their grocery store, mm-hmm. In Appleton, Wisconsin, or yeah. I don't know if they do this everywhere, but definitely there. and so there's these benches. So if you get tired while you're shopping, you can sit down. And so she saw a man, he was sitting there and his cart had a couple items in it, but she figured he still had a lot of shopping to do. And she said, I felt like I had to do something. I didn't know what to do. I felt so bad. I wanted to ask him, but I didn't want to bother him. And so I did like 5 laps around, around him, like kind of like walking around the aisle and him and walking around the aisle and him. And then I finally went up to him and it was kind of awkward, but I said, you know, can I grab you anything while I'm shopping today? And he said, oh yeah, I just have one more thing in the frozen aisle. And it was, you know, all the way across the store. So I ran and I got it and I brought it back to him and he was super grateful. And then I was driving home and I just kept thinking, oh gosh, what if his ice cream's melting? Like, how is he getting home right now? And he's so slow and his ice cream might be melting. And I couldn't stop thinking about him. And so she's trying to put together this thing now in the town where you can go and, you know, go to the person's house if it's an elderly person and pick up their grocery list if you're going to the store anyway and grab them their stuff.
Oh my God.
And, but it was just incredible. And for her to say that she was having such a bad day and to immediately just look around and see someone else that was having a worse day.
Yeah.
Just because of their life. I mean, they're older and it's harder. Not maybe right. Anything was wrong, but just things are more challenging.
Yeah. Then it's more difficult.
It was such a cool thing. I mean, if we kind of all just look around a little bit more, I mean, there's so many different things. And I think people are genuinely good. I mean, they want to help. I think so many people want to help and they want to do something. They just don't know what to do or how to start. And the thing is, there isn't a way. You just start.
You just do it.
I had no idea what I was doing when I got on that ferry. And I still don't know what I'm doing most days.
But it's like when you know it's right, you know, when you feel, when you know something's right and in your gut it feels good, it's like you might not have the plan, but it's like you just continue doing it and you have to trust that that's going to work out. And honestly, you know, when we are, I mean, and not to make this, you know, a selfish thing, but it's like you can't help but to feel good, I think, when you're doing good for others, you know, it's just, I mean, it just, I think it makes everyone, happier and feeling good. And that's something to spread and promote, you know? So it's like, you could be in that mood or, you know, be grieving or, you know, be going through something really hard in your life. And it's like, when you do something good for somebody else and kind of stop thinking about that for that one moment, it's, you know, it just helps your demeanor so much and your attitude. And I think it's just, you know, it's an amazing thing to be able to do.
Yeah, no, I had, so this past year on December 14th, because it was the 6th year anniversary, I put something out on Facebook, and it was just like a little idea. I didn't really properly do it right because I'm doing 4 million other things. So why I thought I would take on another project.
but you did, so.
I asked people, encouraged people to do some type of act of kindness on that day because, you know, the man had bought the coffee for those people and look where I am now. And so just do something that might inspire a ripple of kindness. And so, obviously, you know, I encourage people if they could spend $100, but that was not why I was calling it the 100 movement, because for me, it was $100 at the coffee shop, but really it was just, I mean, smile at someone, you know,
right, just the idea of anything. Yep. Nice.
And so I think people are, like if they didn't necessarily, they thought they had to spend the 100, or they thought they had to buy coffee, you know, if they didn't completely understand it. But one girl that, totally understood the project, she went out and she was trying to decide what to do. And she was walking in New York and she had met up with an old high school friend for lunch that day. And she told him, you know, well, I have to do this thing, you know, my friend's on this trip and I got to do something today. And he was all stressed out about it. Oh gosh, like, what are we going to do? And like, oh, I thought we were just going to hang out today. And like, you know, and so she's like, well, don't worry about it. We'll figure something out. So a little while later, they were walking down the street and they were walking past a hair salon. And so there's the glass windows and they noticed an old woman that was getting her hair cut and she had a broken wrist, apparently from pickleball.
Okay.
And so she went in, her and her friend went into the salon and they paid for her haircut.
Oh.
And she was so excited. And then, you know, she wanted to know why and they talked and the girl ended up taking a selfie with the old lady and the friend
she sent
it to me and it was like the cutest thing. And so, the whole rest of the day, she said her friend, like, calling his parents and calling his friends and telling everyone about it and was so excited and the best mood. And she was like, it was so funny because he was so stressed about it in the beginning and like, oh, we have to do this thing and oh my gosh. And then he just felt so good afterwards. And so that concept of you do have to kind of have a little courage to do these things and step out of your comfort zone, but it's so rewarding.
Oh, so
and it's
rewarding.
So impactful.
Yes.
And we should talk about it because, you know, there's that generational thing where people say, you know, you should just do good. You should do good things. You don't need a pat on the back. You don't need to talk about it. And I agree. We do not need a pat on the back and we should do good things, but I do think we should talk about it.
Yes.
And I think
Agreed.
We need to talk about it because mm-hmm. there's just so much we're getting inundated with. That's bad.
Right.
That we need to balance it out. And when we do talk about it and you say, you know, this guy pays for someone's haircut, someone thinks, gosh, I never would have thought of that. And then maybe they'll do that.
Well,
you
and know, then that gives other people that courage and confidence to do it because they see, yes, exactly. Exactly. I couldn't agree more.
Like the woman in Chicago who got those homeless, the rooms for the homeless people
yes.
during the polar vortex.
The negative 50 degree.
Someone in Oregon did it.
Mm-hmm.
And they had some kind of polar vortex over there, I guess. And then they did it and bought all these homeless people rooms. Like that kind of boost to do these things because now you're hearing about them more. That is why I think it is so important to talk about it more.
It is. We want to promote it. You know, we talk about so many things. It's like, why, you know, let's talk about the positivity and goodness. And that's just going to encourage others to do the same thing.
Yeah.
That's yep. amazing. So amazing. And I really want people to hear your TED Talk because that's an incredible story. So where can people, is that on your website?
Yep. So if on my website, it's in my about section, but they could also just Google my name, Mary Latham TED Talk.
Okay, perfect. And then the website again, just because you did break up a little bit when I want to make sure people hear it, is moregoodtoday.com.
Yes.
Perfect. And then where can people follow you on Instagram? What's the handle?
It's also More Good Today and More Good Today on Facebook also.
Awesome. Oh my gosh. I really appreciate you taking this time, especially while you're traveling. And you know, hopefully you have some downtime. So you're going to Michigan next, right?
Yeah, so Michigan is the next state, but by the time I'm, you know, traveling back and getting back through Wisconsin, actually going the longest way possible, I'm going back up through northern Wisconsin, up through Minnesota, through Canada, and over the Mackinac Bridge into Michigan.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's so a long trek.
My dad is actually going to fly back with me.
Okay.
And be with me for a week on the road.
Oh, nice.
Which I'm super pumped about. Yeah. So that's why we're doing that kind of roundabout way. He has a lumber business in on Long Island here. And so there's a lot of those old logging trails and everything up there in northern Minnesota. So I thought that would be really cool for him to see and just to have him be a little part of a trip.
Oh, that's amazing. That is so awesome. So when do you think, like, how much downtime are you taking right now at home?
Doctor time. I'll be here. Yeah. So I have a wedding to shoot and doctor's appointments till next weekend. And then I fly back and, get on the road for that little trip with my dad as I enter into Michigan. So I'll be in Michigan, kind of the end of the month.
Okay. Wow. Does anybody else ever, is this the first time somebody's really coming with you, or do you ever have anybody that kind of wants to join in and be like, can I come along for the ride?
Yeah. Well, it's really hard because, I'm going into people's homes and I'm already asking a lot. I feel like,
I mean,
they just are so kind and you can stay longer or come sooner. But to have someone else, but I did have one, girl come with me. It was someone I had met, after my mom passed away. Before I started this trip, I actually had moved myself to St. John in the Virgin Islands.
Okay.
It sounds really glamorous, but it was terrifying at first. Complete culture shock.
I'm sure.
But the community there and taking that terrifying leap of faith and bring it out and doing my photography down there is definitely a huge part of how I've been able to do this trip. Just knowing that it will work out. You will have a long anxiety attack and think that you made the wrong decision and freak out a lot, and then it will work out. And then
of course,
okay, I can take these leaps of faith. I met a girl down there and she is just like a bunch of joy. She's like the sweetest. And so she came with me for 10 days.
Oh, wow.
And she stayed with three different hosts with me, and she's just one of those people like you could absolutely take with you kind of thing. But by the third or fourth story, she had to tap out on that part of the trip because I remember we were talking to a man and he, was telling his story and he had this picture and someone had passed away in the picture and it was a football player with the kid and they had become good friends and all this stuff. And he's showing me the picture and I looked over at her and she was just sobbing in the corner. And we got in the car and she was like, I do not know how you do this, but I cannot go again. Like at least during this trip, like maybe if I meet you again, I'll come to one. But she's like, I'm overwhelmed with just the last three stories. Like I can't do it. And so, but it was perfect because she was absolutely useless in every possible way in the car. I thought she'd just taking notes or sending emails for me or answering calls. Yeah. She was like sitting there. She found some bubbles that someone had given me in a little care package and she was blowing bubbles out the window.
Oh my gosh.
But that was what I needed. You know, she's just such a happy person and she was just such a fun little, thing to have on the trip with me for that amount of time and so loving. So she was so great in the homes and everything. But yeah, it was funny because she was just like, I can't do this story.
I can imagine. I mean, that's a lot to take in. You know, you're hearing these people's stories and there's a lot of emotion behind it. So to be able to really listen and to, not that you're not expressing emotion, but just to be able to listen and talk and support them. Without getting overly emotional.
And then I just drive away sobbing.
Yes.
I look like a Sarah McLachlan commercial. Right. I'm just like sobbing in my car. But yeah, it's a never ending learning experience of trying to figure out how to process it properly.
Uh-huh.
I haven't nailed it. I take a lot of it in and I think that I have a really hard time, not feeling those emotions for the people because you care about them so much.
Of course.
You're only in their home, but you're in their home, and you meet their family. It's not like I'm talking to them, people, my two best friends are like, all right, it's enough good. Like, we want you home. Like, it's too much. Like, you've got to come home now. You can Skype the last couple states and get their stories.
Yeah, but it's not it's not the same.
It's not the same.
Yeah. Definitely. Just having that interaction and that connection. I mean, that's something you're going to hold on to forever. That's, and it changes you as a person, just experiencing all of that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That is so amazing. Well, I really, really want to thank you again for everything that you are doing and for taking this time to share your story. And I cannot wait to continue following your journey and see how everything evolves and comes together, because that's just going to be, I think, incredible. And I still think you have a huge future ahead of a lot of goodness and acts of kindness that are going to be coming together. So that is awesome. So thank you again. Thank you very much. Oh, thank you so much for taking the time. And remember, everybody, go ahead and check out moregoodtoday.com. You can donate on there, follow Mary's story and journey, you know, and just do more good. I think that's really the moral of the story. So we're very excited to hear about your project and any other, topics or guests that you guys want to hear on my podcast. Go ahead and send me a message on my Facebook page at Gen Z or on Instagram at JZ Beauty and the Beast. I'll see you guys next week. Thanks. Bye.